Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you until 5 o'clock tonight. Then high school football takes center stage. But later on tonight, there's also some Cleveland Indians baseball going down. And here to talk Tribe with us is Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Don't forget, when we wrap up with Rosie, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away two tickets to see the Indians take on the Tigers on September 19th. Rosie, a pleasure as always to have you on, my friend. You guys got down to Tampa safely. Well, the key now with that hurricane picking up some steam, you guys just have to get the heck out of there safely.
Boy, you're not kidding. And it's, you know, it's tricky because obviously you want to just play the games as scheduled, especially because they're big games. I mean, these teams are separated by just a slim margin in the wild card chase if it comes down to that for the Indians. So, you know, obviously they want to play them as single games, but you also want to do what's right here. And maybe the key will be we're on the Gulf side of Florida, and that hurricane is brewing on the Atlantic Ocean, and it would hit the Miami area well in advance of what would happen here. So, you know, they'll take that into account, and hopefully we can just play it as scheduled based on the forecast. But so much of Florida now, I think the entire state is under a state of emergency, and watching the local news down here this morning, everyone's stocking up at the grocery stores on water and supplies. And you know, they expect it to be a pretty big weather event down here, which is not good.
Yeah, some pretty tense moments down there, I'm sure. Well, Rosie, I want to rehash a conversation that you had on Indians warm-up a couple of days ago. I thought it was interesting you had the opportunity to sit down with Yu Chang and the gentleman who signed him, who's also his translator and international cross-checker, Jason Lin. Rosie, what were some of your major takeaways from the conversation you had with both Lin and Chang?
You know, the first takeaway was the fact that Chang wanted to do it in English without a translator. Now, it turns out he needed the translator, but just the fact that he was giving it a try I thought was pretty cool, because he was saying when he came here 6 years ago, he had no knowledge whatsoever of the English language. And what the Indians do for all their Latin American players is they have formal English classes. So for Chang, same thing, coming from Taiwan. But he said just really the biggest gains he made was just talking to teammates. And he referenced Greg Allen and a couple of others who were real helpful along the way of just being patient with him. And he still obviously has a long way to go, but it was kind of fun along those lines. And then just talking to Jason about how things work in terms of scouting that part of the world, which, you know, it's different obviously than what you see here in the States with high schools and colleges and amateur scouts, and it's even different still from what they see down in Latin America. So it was a lot of fun just to learn about that and get to know Chang a little bit.
How much different did he say that it is? Because you're right. I mean, around here, you've got so many tools as far as technology is concerned at your disposal. When you're going overseas to see someone like Chang over in Taiwan, how much more difficult is it to try and get a look at some of these guys who might not necessarily be on the radar?
You know, it didn't sound like it was that much harder. Their high school is sophomore, junior, senior. That's what they consider high school. But they play baseball year-round there. There's not really a, like here, you know, there's a spring season and then maybe a travel ball season in the summer. But there, it's kind of 12 months a year. So you just kind of pick your spots. And if you hear about a guy, you're able to look at him in game situations a lot more, which sounded like it made it a little bit easier. So I think it's just identifying who could eventually play at the major league level. That's the hardest part of scouting anywhere. You know, projecting what a 15, 16-year-old kid is going to do, 6, 7 years down the road. But they saw some things in Chang, just, you know, how he swung the bat and some power potential there that was intriguing, and so far that's played out in his pro career.
Absolutely it has. And well, yesterday you had the opportunity on Indians warm-up to catch up with Tribe Farm Director James Harris. Who were some of the guys that he singled out in the conversation? Because we're getting to that point now, Rosie, where a lot of these minor leagues are really beginning to wrap things up.
Well, certainly, you know, on the pitching side, there were quite a few, relief-wise, those slots will be filled. You know, a couple will be filled by guys coming off the injured list, specifically Carlos Carrasco and Dan Otero. But young arms, you know, the guy who jumps out because of his strikeout totals is James Karinchak. Now, I don't know that that means he'll get a call-up just where he is roster-wise and experience-wise, but the tools are really there. And he had some injury issues this season, not arm-wise, but hamstring-wise, that held him back a little bit. But they really like him. And, I mean, his strikeouts per nine innings is absurd. It's like 21, I think it's 21 strikeouts every nine innings, which is crazy. So he's, you know, he's someone who's on the radar. A kid by the name of Cam Hill, they really have liked what he's been doing. Was in camp, not this spring, but last spring, and then had Tommy John surgery last season. So he's coming back from that, but throwing the ball really well. He might be a candidate to be called up. There are several others, and then guys like Jake Bowers and Bobby Bradley, who we've seen before up here, they'll probably come up at some point. Bradley Zimmer probably figures in that mix. What they're trying to balance is, do they send guys down here for a day with September 1st being Sunday, or do they just wait till we get home? And then Columbus is in the postseason, so they may just give them a chance to play in that environment and then call them up when their season is done.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Don't forget, when we are done with Rosie, we're giving away a couple of tickets to see the Tribe take on the Tigers on September 18th, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Rosie, you alluded to this earlier. There are some changes coming for sure. Carlos Carrasco's scheduled to make his return to the Tribe on Sunday. Have the Indians specified what kind of role he'll play coming out of the bullpen?
No. I think they'll get him in there. I would imagine they'd get him in there. Certainly they're not going to throw him in the back end right away, I wouldn't think, but you never know. If that's their best option, they might. But, you know, I think they want to let him get his feet under him. That first appearance is going to be really emotional for Carlos and his teammates. So they may want to be, you know, they may try and be careful where they use him in that spot, because just because of the emotions. But I'll guarantee you it won't take him long to settle in. And once he does, look for him at the back end. Maybe not the very back. You know, Brad Hand certainly has earned that spot. But you watch. If he's throwing the ball well and just letting it rip, he'll be facing meaningful hitters late in games. Let's put it that way. And it gives, you know, I think we've seen before when the Indians had Cody Allen and Andrew Miller and others, you know, there wasn't a set closer. It was, When was the game on the line? And sometimes that's in the seventh inning, so you get your guy in there, and that's worked well in the past, and we may see a return to that with the arrival of Carrasco.
Well, speaking of the very back end of that bullpen, you talked about Brad Hand, and he seems like he's back on the right track. He saved four games over the course of the past week. Rosie, what do you think, if anything, has really changed? Do you think it's something mechanical? Do you think it's confidence? Because when you watch him pitch now, well, his slider seems to be much, much sharper, and it seems like it's got much more horizontal movement as well.
Well, that's the key, the slider. You know, it's funny. We were talking yesterday. His velocity seemed down on his fastball. But when he was struggling, the one thing you said, well, his arm must be fine because his velocity is in the mid-90s, which was top end for the season for him, yet he wasn't having the best of results. So maybe, you know, he's concentrated more on that good command of the slider at the expense of some velocity, which is okay. Sometimes location's better than velocity, and that seems to be working well for him. But you're right, the slider's much better, and that was the key early. It was the key when he was struggling, and it's the key now. When that slider's working well, he'll be fine.
Rosie, is it a little tougher for that closer position to kind of find that stride again after they have their struggles? I asked because the other day Shane Bieber. It's that not Justin jersey that keeps doing it to me. But Shane Bieber had some issues the beginning of that game with the Royals, but he figured things out, and as the innings went on, he got into it. Closer doesn't have that luxury. He gets hit, the game goes away from him.
And that's part of the challenge. The other challenge, too, for a starter, say you have a bad outing, mm-hmm. Well, you have that bullpen session between outings where you can really go to work and try and figure some things out. Closers don't have that. And Brad was saying that, you know, I can't leave my best stuff in the bullpen because I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I have to have it for the game. Yeah. So it's really tricky for them to do too much work, especially this time of year with all the appearances under their belt and all the innings, to do too much between appearances because you don't know when those appearances are coming. So that's the real challenge. But I think he's hit on something that's allowed him to get back on track, and that's good news for the Indians.
Baseball is a game full of very interesting nicknames, and we've got to ask you about a very intriguing one that we heard in the postgame presser a couple of days ago with Terry Francona. He referenced a gentleman named One-Eyed Barney, who, as we understand it, is the Indians' top replay official or the replay coach. How in the world did he get that nickname, and can you shed some light on the man they call One-Eyed Barney?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a serious situation, which, of course, degenerates into just a rip session. That's the nature of the game. I don't know if you remember, but Terry Francona had eye surgery about a month ago and had to miss a game. Well, son of a gun, if Barney didn't have a similar deal where he's had eye surgery to repair, I think it's a torn retina. And so he literally has one eye right now, but he was able to do his job at home, and then over in Detroit, he's not able to fly, so I don't think he's here for this weekend. They'll have a substitute, but so he literally is down to one eye. And the other night, they declined to make a replay review that might have been overturned, and Tito was giving him a hard time. And then I think it was Wednesday night, they had two really good ones, and he praised him. But they go back a long, long way, all the way back to when Tito was a minor league manager in the White Sox system, and Mike Barnett was his hitting coach. So it is any opportunity for pranks and jokes and stuff like you heard. It's open season, and unfortunately for Mike Barnett, it seems to just go one way. He takes the brunt of it from Tito and just kind of does it with a smile and kind of thinks it's funny. But that's what that was. That's what One-Eyed Barney was all about. But he did a great job with just the one eye and had a couple of calls overturned the other night.
Only in baseball does Mike Barnett turn into Barney, and then when Barney gets eye surgery, he becomes One-Eyed Barney. Only in baseball do you get that dynamic. Rosa, I've got to ask you about Aaron Civale because, you know, every single time out there he gets tested and he seems to pass his tests with flying colors. What a 2016 draft for the Indians, and they're all having a profound impact, especially on this rotation. What are some of the things that really stand out most to you about Civale?
Just how cool, calm, and collected he is, and he trusts his stuff. He has come up here, not tried to do anything different than what got him here. And anytime he gets in a jam, of which there haven't been many, you'd never know it. The other night he had runners at second and third in an inning, and it looked like, here come the Tigers. They're going to put together a big inning. And he worked out of it with minimal damage. Just a cool customer, obviously has the stuff. Has good stuff. You say it's not overpowering, but I don't know, 93, couple of 94s with his fastball. That'll get him, a long way. That's plenty good in terms of stuff. But he's got great movement and good command. So that package all comes together, and he's really been special so far for the Indians at a time when they've really needed it.
Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this. We had alluded to this upcoming series this weekend against the Tampa Bay Rays. It could turn into a pretty big one because these two teams are pretty close in the wild card race. There's also the possibility that the weather could dictate some of what happens this weekend as well. What are you looking forward to most in this weekend series? Always seems like the Indians and Rays have some pretty good battles.
They do, and you know, we haven't seen Tampa Bay in quite some time, so it'll be interesting to see how different they might be. At this point, they rotate pitchers in and out. We're going to see, I think, two openers in this series. So they can be kind of tricky to prepare for. But, we'll see. I think the Indians are in a good place right now. They went through that rough spot in the schedule, got an off day coming home, and I think that was really beneficial before they headed out onto the road trip. So, I think the Indians are well prepared. They have the rotation set up nicely, and they'll be ready to go this weekend.
For opposing teams, Rosie, is that one of the tougher stadiums to play in? You keep hearing about low attendance and crazy scaffolding and all that.
You know what? I think that's fair to say. That's a good point because, you come in, it is a big series, and a lot of times a September series Labor Day weekend, it might not be packed. I mean, maybe they will have decent crowds. I think a lot of people have other stuff on their minds this weekend because of the hurricane coming. But we'll see. I mean, normally you go in there and it is kind of empty. A lot of times there's more Tribe fans here than Rays fans, or at least there's a lot of them. So you really have to kind of manufacture some stuff, and it's not a traditional ballpark. You're right. There's scaffolding in play from the ceiling and all that kind of stuff. So it is different, but, the Indians have always, I think, played decently here because they've gotten good pitching, and you need that against Tampa Bay, and we'll see if that holds true this weekend.
Good stuff. Well, Rosie, as always, we really do appreciate the time, and in all seriousness, we hope you guys get out of Tampa Bay in plenty of time so you're not affected by the hurricane at all, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right. Fingertips hot. Get them ready. Call 440-322-0930 because we're giving away two tickets to see the Indians take on the Tigers on September 18th. Thanks to North Ridgeville, convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every single day of the year, and with Labor Day weekend already upon us, that should be a place you head to get all of your party supplies. So again, call 440-322-0930 if you want to see the Indians and Tigers have at it at Progressive Field on September 18th. Let's get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I return with more after this on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.